I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
McMinnville, Oregon, May 11th, 1950. Evelyn Trent is walking back to her farmhouse after feeding her rabbits. Before reaching the house, she sees a slow-moving, metallic, disc-shaped object heading towards her. She calls to her husband, Paul, who emerges from the house and also sees the object. He quickly runs back to the house to get his camera and returns in time to take two photos of the object before it speeds away. The photos are printed in Life magazine and go on to become some of the most famous UFO images ever taken. Skeptics claim it was a hoax, but credible ufologists maintain to this day that the photos are genuine.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the show about extraterrestrials and UFOs, asking the question, are we alone? In Alien Nation, I talk to other Earthlings about their otherworldly encounters, and we love hearing your stories, so please get in touch. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. My guest today is the founder of ITU, Investigate the Unknown. Welcome to Alien Nation, Nicholas Martin.
Thank you for having me, Jo.
So I got an email from you and you talked about your experience. So for the listeners,
yes.
I'd love you to tell me why, what you saw.
Okay, yeah, sure. So it was in October 2014. I was just sitting in my room with the window in front of me and then my garden. It was about 5-6 o'clock at night. It was kind of a cloudy night. Not raining, just a cloudy night. Then all of a sudden, I see this orange light appear in the sky. So yeah. I was like, okay, that's a bit weird. So I run downstairs, go outside the garden, and two more appear. And basically in a triangle formation, and the colour of the light was like the old street lights, which are very bright orange.
Yeah.
And you could see the glow through the clouds. So I was like, this is very weird. And they were just hovering there. So I was like, okay, this is strange. Let me get someone else just in case I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
So I got my mum out. She was like, oh my God, yes, I can see this as well. Then all of a sudden, this bright white flash of light happened in the sky. It was very bright, very quick. And then suddenly, one of the three UFOs, the first one, shot up straight, I can only imagine, up into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Then the third one and the second one did exactly the same thing afterwards. So I was like, okay, that's very strange. Like, and then about 10 seconds later, you could see two more come over to the same spot. And then, again, another bright white flash of light. One shoots up and another one shoots up. And then it was just like this eerie silence in the sky. It was very, very, very strange experience. I mean, yeah, it was just unexplainable.
So your mum saw that as well.
Yes,
so
yeah,
at least you know, yes. You weren't going mad.
Yeah.
And whereabouts was this you saw all this?
So this is where I live, in Morden.
That
area, yeah, it was just...
Oh, how interesting. I used to live not far from there. I used to live in Kingston.
Many
years ago.
Yes, yeah, a nice area.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I wish I'd seen something when I was living in Kingston. So did you report this to anybody, you know?
No, I didn't really know who to report it to.
Yeah, I suppose we don't have MUFON here, do we?
I mean... It's a very small number of MUFON. I just didn't know what to do with it. I mean, I told my friends, I told people, and it's kind of just stayed with me and my mum, I suppose.
When you tell your friends, how do they react to that story?
A mixed bag. Some of them think, okay, like, did you have a bit to drink that night or something?
Yeah, I've heard that many times.
Oh, yes. And some of them are like... Oh, that is very strange. It's kind of an unexplainable phenomenon. You just don't know what it could be, many things. So, yeah, it's a kind of a mixed bag in that aspect.
So, you're the founder of an investigation, Investigate the Unknown.
Yes, so ITU, Investigate the Unknown.
Yeah.
I suppose I'll go through a little bit of my backstory, how I got to that.
Yeah.
So my whole interest in UFOs really started when I was a kid.
So it's even before your sighting?
Yeah.
All right.
So between the ages of 8 and 10, I basically had this reoccurring nightmare of getting abducted by aliens at my nan's house. Very strange. It would happen every night. Basically, in the dream, I'd be downstairs in the room, run up the stairs, and there'd be an alien chasing me. I know it sounds a bit funny, but it just happened every single night.
It doesn't sound funny. No. I've heard similar stories.
Yeah, it just happened every night for 2 years, and I basically became petrified of aliens. Like, even watching E.T., the film, I couldn't, because I was just so scared because of this recurring nightmare.
So how old were you,
I was between, it was started about 8 and finished about 10. So it was, it was a 2-year ongoing thing, which is, again, very bizarre because I've never, not really, I wasn't like watching any alien films or anything. It just appeared out of nowhere and just stuck with me for 2 years. So then after a while, after that period, I was just like not interested because, again, bad memories.
Frightened.
Yeah, it's frightened. So then kind of later in life, I kind of like look back at that period, probably about 16, 17, about, okay, so I had that. Like, so I've started to investigate a bit more the phenomenon, watching documentaries and reading books and everything. I suppose I just came kind of a believer, I suppose you could say. Like, I don't know if these beings are visiting us, but certainly there must be something happening in the background that we don't know, because...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's been happening for many years.
Yeah, I mean, go back in history and you look in history and you see they're even painted in old masters, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, so... Oh, so that's interesting. So you became interested because of that. And do you think... They say that when you sleep, that's when you get abducted. You might have been abducted.
For all I know, yes. It's a strange thing. It just appeared out of nowhere and it just carried on for 2 years. I even went to, I think I spoke to a doctor about it, and he was just...
He would have just said it was a nightmare.
It's just a night terror, yeah. But yeah, it's so strange.
Yeah, in your dreams, what did the aliens look like?
Yeah, so, it was basically the typical grey alien, you know?
Oh, the little...
The one with the big eyes, the big head.
Yeah.
Kind of very thin body. And yeah, it was just, it was basically that. It just every night. I remember a few years ago, I had almost like a reoccurrence of that dream. So I was in the same house, a lot older. And the whole sky was just filled with UFOs flying across it. It was so strange because I've never revisited that dream. This was about 10 years afterwards. Yeah. So.
And so that has led you to do your investigate the unknown.
Yes, effectively. So that spurred with a few other things. I was like, okay, I'm getting old. What do I do with my life, kind of thing? I'm interested
You're getting old, he says.
Yes. I feel like I'm getting old.
No, you're not.
I know. I've still got all those years. But...
Yeah, wait till you're my age.
But yeah, so I was like, okay, what do I want to do that I'm interested in? And I was kind of looking at the many different things. I'm a big film buff myself. But so okay, let's do something that no one really else is doing. So I had this idea coming back from a friend's house on the bus, just popped into bed. So all these UFOs, I think it was about 3 or 4 months ago when the UFOs were starting to go back in the news again. So I was like, okay, let's investigate this a bit more. So I had the idea of an app that basically people can map these phenomenon on effectively a Google map. And then they can kind of communicate with other, be very social, and then basically investigate these sightings.
I see. So you would, it would be like, you'd look on this app when you saw something in the sky.
Yes.
And because it would be attached to MUFON, you said
that.
Then they would be able to say whether, yes, it is a UFO or it's a plane or a satellite. Is that the kind of thing?
So so the whole MUFON side of things is I'm working with him and them and the director, Jan, his name is. And basically what they're doing is they're supplying me with their current UFO data for the app.
Yeah.
So it's about 110,000 sightings that will be on the app from launch.
Is that amazing?
Yeah, that's about 20 years of what they've got. They've also got another 30 years, which is all basically in files form,
which
they're trying to work into putting it on a data online. But So that is basically where they're coming in. We're working together for that side of things. And then so the app is going to, MUFON can look at it, they can investigate these UFOs. but I also want just the general public to investigate these UFOs. I want people to work together from all the different communities.
So you'd sort of click on something or send a picture or whatever, I suppose.
So you'd look at the map view, you'd see like, oh, a UFO was sighted in London, for instance. You could click on it. You could look at the images that they're showing, and then you could like write a comment. You could like it. You could share it to other people.
I'm going to get that. I am definitely going to get that.
Yeah. So
can you upload photos to it?
Yeah. So from launch, you'll be able to upload photos, and hopefully, depending on what happens in development, you'll be able to upload videos as well, little video clips, so people can watch videos as well as look at photos.
Oh, that's going to be so cool.
Yeah. So.
So what about the aspect of the social side of the app?
So the app basically comes in two parts. There's the map view where everyone can look, see where all the sightings are, and the social side, which is more of a recent idea we had. But the more we think about it, the more it makes sense. So, for instance, it would work in a little way the YouTube works, for instance. So you would see, you'd see everyone's feed. You could basically, everyone can have their own, effectively their channel.
Yeah.
So everyone can go and follow other people, and it works like a blog aspect. So people.
A bit like Instagram.
A bit like Instagram, yeah. So
people, you can follow other people with stories and.
Yeah. So the idea of the app is the social side of it. So basically, the more that people, the more that individuals investigate, the more they can grow the channel. It means the more respect that these people in the community can earn in terms of. These are legit people trying to find out the truth.
Yeah.
So they deserve the following, and then hopefully inspire more people to investigate.
And sort of, wake up and realise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. I mean, yeah, the main thing for this app is to get, I suppose, the mainstream population to use it and to actually think about it for a minute and not just blow it off as a silly, stupid idea.
So how far down the line are you with this?
So currently we're in, I suppose you would call pre-development with the prototype and a couple of other bits. And we're now at a stage where we have a website launch and then we will be moving on to effectively financing the actual development of the full app.
Yeah. And so when do you think that's going to be?
I mean, ideally, hopefully, it'll be out by the end of this year. That's the plan.
Cool.
Yeah. Kind of December, January launch is when we're expecting.
Yeah, and what's it going to be called?
It's called ITU.
ITU.
Yeah. That's the ITU Investigate the Unknown. It's kind of stuck with it.
That's a good name, actually. That's a really good name. And so how did you get involved with MUFON? How did you go to them and say...
I mean, this is kind of how I did with you, basically. I just sent an email to...
Drove me mad with emails,
I think I've driven a lot of people mad with emails recently. I went to MUFON and went straight to Jan, the director, and I was like, I've got this idea, fairly unique. Would you be interested in talking? So he set up a Skype call, and after the meeting, we was like... Yeah, perfect. So let's work together on this.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yeah, because they're as much as they're interested in investigating, they kind of want to be with other people and work together, essentially.
Yeah, as work together. And by having an app like that, you'd be able to be, you know, it'd be worldwide.
Yeah.
Anybody interested in UFOs and other dimensions.
Yeah, paranormal and all that stuff, yeah.
So you'd do all of that.
Yeah,
cover it all.
All of it, yeah. I mean... I don't want to like segment people off or different things off. I want everyone to kind of come together, work together and actually try and investigate and discover what these things are with the app as a starting platform.
Because I found since doing these that it's all sort of connected. The paranormal, UFOs, aliens, spirituality, everything seems to be.
Yes. Somehow intertwined together.
It is. I find that very interesting.
It's strange, but it's not. It's like all these bizarre, weird, unknown things happening, even though they're kind of very different from ghosts to a UFO to an alien. Somehow they kind of all kind of end up becoming the same thing. Effectively,
lots of things on Instagram where they show little bits of films of cars that suddenly. Twizzle round and then people just disappear and from a camera and things like that. And you think, oh my God, what is going on? Something's going on that we our brains aren't big enough to understand.
It's a very strange phenomenon. And hopefully, with my app and a few other projects I'm working on, that we can finally get an entire database of everyone working together and actually trying to figure out what's happening in the world.
Would you have to pay for the app?
No, so there's going to be two versions. One's going to be completely free.
Yeah.
You'll be able to do pretty much everything that you can do on the app. And the other one is, you pay for a bit to remove ads. That's more of like, if you want to support us, if you're happy with the work we're doing, donate a bit of money to us, basically.
Oh, great.
But the reason we want to do a free version is we want everyone to obviously use it and have it. We don't want to alienate people from...
So you'd make your money through the ads?
Yeah, basically. They're not going to be intrusive. They're not going to be like, oh, every 5 seconds an ad pops up.
Yeah.
It's just going to be done in a nice, clean way so people can do the things they want to do on the app and not be annoyed by random ad pop-ups.
So you reckon this will all be ready for the public by early next year?
Yes, that's the plan currently, yes.
Okay.
And got a few things planned behind the scenes for a kind of a fairly big launch we're going to do, which is a bit under wraps at the moment. But
do I get an invite?
You do, of course. You do. You do get an invite, of course.
That's good. I'll be there, dressed like an alien.
Well, maybe not. Depends. I'm sure we get one or two.
Yeah. Anyway. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Obviously, we've probably heard about your stories of UFOs. With this podcast, what are you hoping to achieve, I suppose, in the future?
I think what I'm hoping to achieve is, it's my curiosity, really, about what lies out there.
Yes.
So I think by talking to lots of people about their experiences, it will help me get a better understanding and sort of, the meaning of it all, really.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would be as interesting. I thought I'd meet, talk to a few people. But the more we do, the more I absolutely love it. I think what I'd like to achieve is the awakening of lots of people to the possibilities. Because so many people out there turn around and say, oh, there's nothing out there. Yeah. Come on, are you mad? And I'd say, how can you think like that? Yeah. How can you think like that? We can't possibly be
alone.
We can't. I mean, there are planets out there going millions and millions of years longer than us, and God knows how far advanced they are. Well, very far advanced.
Yeah.
So we just all have to have these open minds.
I think keep an open mind. But I also like to keep my mind of being scientific in that aspect of, let's find the evidence, let's investigate the evidence, and hopefully by the end of it, we can come up with this is actually completely unknown. Because they always say, I remember Nick Pope, the old UFO who used to work in the MOD, specialist, he's like, no matter how many UFO sightings we got, there was always about 98% of them we could explain, but there's always the 2%
that you really
that
can't.
Just no one can explain. And that 2%, if that's just the UK, then the whole world, it must be a massive number of these all.
What do you think science has to do to help with this?
I think it's a strange one, because a lot of scientists have that stigma of, I don't want to be seen investigating UFOs because there's a stigma behind it.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be nice if a few scientists come out and say, well, let's take the scientific approach.
What are the odds?
Yes, what are the odds? What are all, like, if they even take just the like top 10 famous sightings that are unexplained and actually properly investigate it, like they would do a theory about quantum mechanics, which makes obviously one of the things that makes no sense in the physics world.
Yeah.
If they were to take that type of thing and then bring it over to our subject field and actually have a proper investigative team investigating these, I feel like that would go a long way in terms of helping the community and the subject field be more respected in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think maybe lots of scientists, the science world, knows the possibilities,
yes.
of course. But
yeah.
but I think there, as you say, is a big stigma about speaking out about it.
Yeah.
But that's maybe one thing why I like to speak out about it, because there is a stigma.
Yes.
So let's talk about it.
Yes.
So what do you think this, if we all suddenly realise, there is different beings from millions of different planets all around us, what do you think that's going to do to religion?
I think every religion will probably have a different feeling about it. But obviously, like a few years ago, the Pope came out and said he would welcome aliens.
Yeah, he did, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Vatican are open to that.
Yeah.
I think it really depends on the religion. I mean, a lot of them will probably... You fear that some of them will be kind of really against beings from another world.
I suppose. Well, I think they'd be frightened.
Yes, frightened, yeah, because yeah. Everything you've believed in the sense is not true, or...
I mean, if any beings were going to do anything, they can wipe us out instantly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sure. So, we'd be like ants to someone.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I think if they were going to do it, we'd have done it a long time ago.
Yes, I don't...
They're just watching... What a mess we're making of things.
Yeah, for sure. I don't see a War of the Worlds scenario, if you could say that.
Yeah.
But it would be a very interesting if it would have happened in our lifetime. See where, like, how people react. I mean, sure, there'd be mass panic, but...
Yeah, I think there'll be mass panic, and I think that's why the governments don't say much.
No, that is... that's been, like, the main theory behind of why we're not being told about these things is... to prevent mass panic.
Yeah.
But I feel the longer this goes on, the longer people are, again...
I think what's happening now is a gradual opening of the eyes.
Yes.
So it's nice and gentle.
Yes.
And people just grow like that and realise. That's what I believe is happening.
Yes. Well, one of my favourite little stories is... Steven Spielberg, when he made E.T.
Yeah.
He showed it to a president. Oh, damn it, I can't remember which one it was now. I think it might have been Ronald Reagan, I could be wrong. And he basically, after they viewed it, a private screening in the White House, he turns to Steven Spielberg and says, if only you knew how true this was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Because, again, Steven Spielberg wanted to make a different film. It wasn't necessarily E.T. It was a case about about aliens, actually, called The Hopsville Goblins. Don't know if you've heard of it.
Oh, no, I haven't. Oh, gosh.
And it's basically about 1950s, 1960s. It was a case of this little house in pretty much in the middle of nowhere in a forest. And this family getting terrorized by what they call the little goblins.
Oh, yeah.
And about all these lights coming, and they would, like, smash the windows and raid the house and everything. And the police came, and every time the police came, they just disappeared. And it happened quite a few times. And Steven Spielberg,
yeah.
When he heard the story, he wanted to make a film about it. But when he went to the producers of the to make the film, he was like, this is too scary for kids.
Yeah.
So now...
Well, you should have made a horror movie.
Oh, God, yeah, that would have been amazing. Yeah. Maybe someone will make that one day.
But... Yeah, I hope so. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nicholas, it's so nice of you to come in and talk with me. What's coming up for you next, apart from your app?
Oh, what's coming up for me next?
Hopefully more sightings.
Yes, more sightings. Just, I'm going to, there's a UFO convention in Cardiff in a couple of weeks.
Is there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll be going to that.
Oh, I went to the one in Manchester.
Yes, unfortunately, I missed that one. But yeah. how was that?
That was good.
That was good.
Very interesting it was. And, some great people. I loved, there was a wonderful woman artist there that sees aliens, and she just paints them all the time.
Oh, that's
she
very
was
nice.
Brilliant. I loved her. But there were loads of great people there. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I can imagine.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, hopefully I'll go next year.
Yeah. Well, have a good one in Cardiff.
Yes, I will do, yes.
Yeah. In Wales. My attempt at a Welsh accent.
I will not attempt a Welsh accent.
Thank you so much for coming in, Nicholas. That's great.
Thank you for having me.
That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Associate producer Colette Cooper, and recorded at Hackenbacker Studios by Alex Fielding. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath and our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk, subject matter Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.